Amen. Thank you, choir. Now, that was just one song. Tonight at 6 o'clock, our choir, along with some others throughout the community, are going to be singing several more songs. And if you thought that was good, you come back tonight and you will hear more songs that are good. And so I hope you're able to come and join us this evening. You eat a good lunch today, take you a nap, and then you're back here tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll have a great time together in worshiping the Lord. If you take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Corinth was the most important city in Greece during Paul's day. It was a bustling hub of worldwide commerce. I mean, everybody was coming. They wanted to be in Corinth. However, because of that, Corinth, the culture there was very degraded. It was very bad. It was idolatrous religion going on. It was just a bad city to be in. And there in Corinth, Paul founded a church. Acts chapter 18 tells us about that. And Paul wrote two letters that are addressed to the church of God, which was at Corinth. And this first letter reveals the problems and the pressure and the struggle of a church that has been called out of this pagan society. I mean, they had been living in a very pagan society. That's all they knew. And now this church is being formed and they're trying to figure out how to be a church, how their lives have been changed by Christ, but now how do they act and react with each other? And so Paul begins to address various problems in the lifestyle of the Corinthian church. He talks about factions, and he talks about lawsuits, and he talks about immorality and questionable practices and abuse of the Lord's Supper and spiritual gifts and discipline. And also Paul shares a word of counsel and answer to questions that are raised by the Corinthian believers. And one of the questions they were struggling with was the resurrection of Christ. I mean, Paul had preached to them the gospel, and in the first part of this 15th chapter, Paul proclaims to them what the gospel is, but they still were trying to get their head around the resurrection. Paul, they believed it. They believed that it happened, but man, they, in this city they were living in, people were telling them, well, there's no way, it couldn't be true. And so they were just trying to figure it out. And so Paul, here beginning in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15, begins to explain the resurrection and tell them that the resurrection was something that truly happened. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, the Bible says, now if Christ is preached, and that word if in the New Testament a lot of times really means since. It's not a if this happened, but since this happened. Now, since Christ is preached, that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Now I want to read verse 13 and verse 20 again without any stopping. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. But now Christ is risen from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is unquestionably the most important event in all of history. And it's also the most significant event in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us that his life was an eventful one. His life was not ordinary by any means of the stretch of the imagination. The Word of God tells us that Jesus was born of a virgin. The Bible tells us that he lived a life without sin. The Bible tells us that he died on the cross to provide salvation for those who would trust in him. The Bible tells us that he bodily ascended into heaven. The Bible tells us that Jesus sits at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he saves to the uttermost those who come to him by faith. And the Bible tells us that one day Jesus will return and rule and reign on this planet as sovereign Lord. All of those are events in the life of Jesus, but I tell you, every one of those is totally irrelevant apart from his resurrection. The fact that Jesus was born of a virgin means absolutely nothing if he's dead. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then he did not ascend into heaven. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, he doesn't now sit at the right hand of the majesty on high. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, he does not save lost people. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, he does not ever have a possibility of coming back to earth again. Everything the Bible says about Jesus hinges on the fact of his resurrection. If he did not rise from the dead, then everything else is totally meaningless. And verse 20 says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." And that little word, "but" there, is a conjunction, and it is a conjunction of contrast. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is contrasting the statement in verse 20 with some other things that have already been said in this chapter. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and everything has to fall in line with that statement. So I want to share with you six truths that would not be true if Jesus did not rise from the dead. First of all, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, there would be nothing good about good news. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there would be nothing good about good news. Now, if you go back to verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." And the word gospel means good news. "I declare to you the good news which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, in which you are saved." Well, what is this gospel? Verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture." That's the first facet of the gospel, that Jesus died for our sin. And then look at verse 4, "And that he was buried." And that's the second part of it. Jesus died and he was buried. And listen, there's not anything unusual about that. That's what you do with dead people. Whenever they die, you bury them. Nothing unusual about that. Nothing unusual about the fact that Jesus was buried. Oh, but look at this. Verse 4 says, "And that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture." You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus was a man who went about doing good. That Jesus touched the blind and they could see. He touched the deaf and they could hear. He touched the mute and they could speak. He touched the cripple and they could walk. Jesus even touched the dead and they could live. He did no harm. He didn't break into anybody's home. He did nothing wrong. And when someone like that dies, our hearts are sad. And when Jesus died, there was grief. When Jesus died, there were sorrows like most funerals I attend. There's sorrows, there's agony, there's tears, there's heartache and heartbreak. Nothing necessarily good about death or his burial. But the good news is that he rose again from the dead. That's the good news. He didn't stay dead. He rose again. Jesus is alive. And he puts the good in the good news because of his resurrection. Now let me share with you a second thing. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, not only is it true that there is nothing good about good news, but if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then gospel preaching is worthless. Look at what it says there in verse 14. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is vain or futile. God called me to preach when I was 20 years old, and I love to preach. I've told y'all before, I'd rather preach than eat, and that's saying a whole lot. I love preaching. And when we gather here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday, I don't preach to you about politics. I don't preach to you about sports. I don't preach to you about the weather. I don't preach to you about the ecology. I don't preach to you about vain religion. When I stand to preach, I preach to you that Jesus is alive. We have a living Savior, and that's what we preach about. I preach to you that he's alive, and because he lives, he hears you when you pray, and he'll answer you when you call to him in faith, and that he will encourage you when you're discouraged, and he'll give you joy when you're depressed. He'll give you life when you're dead. That's what I preach to you. But you see, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then all that preaching is worthless. And preachers are nothing more than hypocrites drawing salary for something that does not even exist. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And there is a gospel to preach. And he does have power to change lives. And our preaching is not in vain. Paul says the third thing. He says that if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, there's nothing good about good news. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, our preaching is worthless. But he says, thirdly, if Jesus is not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. Verse 14 again, and if Christ is not risen, our preaching is in vain, and your faith also is in vain. And as though that were not enough, he repeats it down in verse 17. And if Christ is not raised from the dead, your faith is futile or vain. That must be very important. God said it twice. If God says it one time, that's enough. If God says it twice, there must be something to it. You see, he didn't say anything about the gospel twice. He didn't say anything about preaching twice. But two times. He said, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then your faith is futile. Your faith is in vain. Now listen to me. Christianity is not a religion. Buddhism, that's a religion. Hinduism, that's a religion. Islam is a religion. But Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a faith, a living, vibrant faith in the living Lord Jesus. But I tell you, if he's not alive, then our faith is in vain. There's no reason for it. Faith, it wouldn't be important if he's not alive. But our faith is important. Because faith is the means by which the grace of God comes into our lives. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see, that grace does not come into my heart through baptism. That grace does not come into my heart by partaking of the Lord's Supper. That grace does not come into my heart by joining a church. That grace does not come into my heart by filling out a card. That grace does not come into my heart by doing good works. That grace only comes through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Apart from faith, the grace of God cannot come into your life. And apart from faith, you can never please God. The book of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you know what that means? It means it doesn't matter how many sermons I preach. It doesn't matter how many lessons you teach. It doesn't matter how many songs we sing. It doesn't matter how many deacons meeting that we go to. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, you're never going to please God with your ability. You'll never please Him with anything except your faith. Faith is vitally important. We are a people of faith. We believe it when it makes sense, and we believe it when it doesn't make any sense. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. We believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. We believe in the resurrection from the dead. We believe in things that don't make any sense at all, but we believe it by faith. And without faith, we will never see the Lord. Never see Him. And so the importance of faith in Christianity cannot be minimized. You know, a person can be saved and go to heaven without any money. A person can be saved and go to heaven without having great help. A person can be saved and go to heaven without having many friends. But a person cannot be saved and go to heaven apart from faith in Jesus Christ. It is absolutely essential. And Paul says that if Christ is not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. It is futile. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And beloved, everything we believe will be verified in eternity. You can ridicule us if you want to. You can mock us if you want to. You can call us whatever name you want to. You can call us fools. You can call us ridiculous. You can call us morons. But when Jesus comes again, you can call us gone. Because we'll be with Him forever. Our faith is not in vain. And then Paul says a fourth thing. Paul says if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're still in our sin. Verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, it's in vain, and you're still in your sins. Now listen, there are a lot of doctrines in the Bible. There's the doctrine of God, God the Father. There's God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's the doctrine of creation. There's the doctrine of redemption, the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of the church, their doctrine of hell and of last things. But I tell you, the doctrine that is most precious to me and the doctrine that I would fight the longest and hardest for is the doctrine of forgiveness of sin. You and I would have no hope apart from being forgiven for our sin. Jesus forgave us of our sin. On the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The soldiers that crucified Jesus, they had crucified many men. They had heard men curse them. They had felt balls of spittle spit upon them. But they had never heard anybody pray for them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Forgiveness of sin. Now the Bible doesn't say that all of us have committed the same sin. Of the same kinds of sin. You see, there are some things that you've done that I've never done. Maybe there are some things that I've done that you've never done. But you know what? That's not really important. Some people commit murder. Some people commit child abuse. Some people lie. Some people cheat. Some people steal. Some people are greedy. Some people just hold grudges. But listen, all sin is bad. And all sin separates us from God. And Paul says that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then we are still in our sin. And those of us who claim to have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those of us who claim to have our names written in the Lamb's book of life, those of us who claim to be born again by the Spirit of God, those of us who claim to have left the family of Satan and have been born into the family of God, those of us who claim to be Christians, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then our sin has never been washed away. We are still in our sin. That means we go to bed lost, we wake up lost, we go throughout the day lost, and one day we will die lost and go to hell. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, we are still in our sin. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Praise God, my sin is gone. Paul said if Jesus did not rise from the dead, there's nothing good in good news. Paul said if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our gospel preaching is in vain. Paul said if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and our faith is in vain. Paul said if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're still in our sin. Number five, Paul says that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our saved loved ones are in hell. Look at verse 18. He said, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then every person I've ever conducted a funeral service for, no matter how good they were, no matter how moral they were, no matter how godly they were, no matter how saved they claimed to be, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then every one of them are in hell forever. They've perished. They which are asleep in Christ, Paul says, are perished. They are doomed. They are forever separated from God. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then every dead Christian is in hell. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And those of you who have said goodbye here can anticipate saying good morning over there. Those of you who have kissed and embraced a lifeless corpse can anticipate correctly seeing that loved one again. There'll be no more cancer in the body. There'll be nothing wrong with our heart. There'll be no disease raging through our veins. None of that will be there anymore because Jesus is alive and heaven is a reality. And one other thing, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then those of us who believe in him have no hope. Verse 19, in this life, if only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. You see, if Jesus is dead, then we don't have any hope. And I don't know of a worse way to live than to live life without hope. You know, you can survive without good health if you have hope. You can survive without much money if you have hope. To be honest with you, some of the happiest people I've ever known have been some of the sickest or some of the poorest people I've ever met. But you see, their happiness is not because of their sickness. Their happiness is not because of their poverty. Their happiness is because they have hope in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then we have no hope. Oh, but now. Christ is risen from the dead. He's alive. And because he's alive, there's good news in the gospel. Because he's alive, there's value in preaching. Because he's alive, then our faith is worth having because He's alive. Our sin have been washed away because He's alive. Our saved loved ones who have gone on before us in death, they are in heaven. And thank God, because Jesus is alive, we have hope. Hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness and His resurrection from the dead. He is alive. But listen to me. If He's not alive in your heart, then it really doesn't make much difference for you. Because you see, if Jesus isn't alive in your heart, then you don't have any hope. If Jesus is not alive in your heart, you are still in your sin. And if you die like that, you will go to hell. But you see, I have good news for you. You don't have to die like that. The Bible tells us that Jesus will save to the uttermost those who come to Him by faith. And if you've never been saved, that can happen to you today. You can be saved today. And you say, well, Brother Shane, I don't go to church that much. That's all right. You can still be saved today. Well, Brother Shane, I hadn't been in church since last Easter. That's all right. You can still be saved today. Well, Brother Shane, I'm not dressed like everybody else. That's all right. You can still be saved. And as a matter of fact, then you'll be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And there is no better way to be dressed. But now, Christ is risen. And because of that, everything that we have, we know we have. We have hope. We have assurance. We have peace. We have forgiveness of sin. We have salvation. And it's only because He is alive. Our Father, in the lovely name, oh, the precious name of Jesus, our living Lord, God, in His name, may we never be casual or indifferent about the resurrection of our Lord. Thank You that Jesus conquered sin, hell, death, and the grave, and He stood up in lives today and lives today, and He's still changing lives. Lord, there are some here today whose lives sure do need to be changed. Maybe everything they've tried has failed. And I pray today that they just stop trying and start trusting. Start trusting Jesus and finding Him the solution to life's problems. I pray that they would be saved today. I pray that any other decisions that need to be made today would be made. And Father, I know that we'll give You the glory for all that You do in this place. Father, this is Your time. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.